your pastor has desperately been trying to get us since just before COVID, and it's just been crazy life, hasn't it, Sharon? For those of you that don't know my wife, Sharon, Mrs. Sharon, would you stand up, please? Glory to God. We just celebrated 50 years, May 25th, so pretty cool, you know. And we were high school sweethearts, so we really racked up 52. I'm lucky I'm standing and alive because I'm a tough dude to live with. She carries a big bat, okay? Gives me an adjustment now and then. But it's great to be here. Yesterday reminded me of why I left New York State, because when it rains here, it rains. It rains in Florida, but at least when the sunshine comes out, you know, yeah, glory to God, hallelujah. And then, of course, we have right here, traitors to Florida. No, just kidding. They're back home. It's awesome to be here. This church, your pastor, when we talk about everything but the church. We talk about the global church. We talk about missions. So when we talk, we don't talk about, you know, what's happening here. And I'm just so excited to hear from God what he's been showing me. And this morning, I'm going to preach to you for a while, and then we're going to pray. And but this morning, I was reading in the Bible. We had no power. Power went out about 1 o'clock last night, and didn't come on until about 8 this morning, which was really cool. But anyway, it made us feel like we were back in Florida because we lose our power all the time. But he brought me to Joel chapter 1, verses 2 and 4, and 3, 2 to 4. Hear this, you elders. Listen, all who live in the land. Has anything like this ever happened in your days or in the days of your ancestors? Tell it to your children, and let your children tell it to their children, and their children to the next generation. What the locust swarm has left, the great locusts have eaten. What the great locusts have left, the young locusts have eaten. What the young locusts have left, other locusts have eaten. We are living in precedented times. In my 69 years of walking this earth, I have never seen what we're living through right now. And a lot of people get upset with me because I'm going to make this statement. I think we are living in the most exciting times. Because we pray to win people. You know, your pastor, I love his laugh, and I told him yesterday, I says, God told me that, Charlie, you're nothing but a tour guide on this earth. You're here for a short time, and your job is to guide people to me. And it's been a chore. But God spoke to me and said, this church is a Noah church. It's a bridge-building church. And that's what's exciting to me. You know, in Joel 2, it says, blow the trumpet in Zion, sound the alarm on the holy hill. We should be blowing our trumpets right now, not being quiet. Verse 12 says, even now declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. We're in so many churches. We're through churches all through Canada, all through the U.S. I've kind of stopped international travel, if you want to call it Canada, but we've stopped all the other international travel. I did 26 nations, and I'm like, I'm there, but we're in Canada, real hunger for the Lord. We're traveling through the United States. We're kind of getting lukewarm. You know, in verse 13 says, rend your heart. Return to the Lord your God. Every morning I wake up, I do a self-inventory. What did I do wrong yesterday? What do I need to repent of? Lord, I'm sorry, but I've got a job to do today, and so help me do that job. We need God every day in our lives. I don't care how long you've been saved. We've been saved over 40 years. I can't do it without him. I can't. Yeah, we're around people that they feel they can. You know, the prophet Joel promised. He promised a joy in the end time harvest. However, if we don't possess the wisdom like the sons of Issachar possessed, the word of God says the sons of Issachar understood the times and the seasons they were living in. That's what made them so successful. You can't be an ostrich and stick your head in the sand and stay away from what's going on. On the same token, you can't be watching the news 24/7. You know, I ask people, what feed are you going to listen to and believe? The world's feed or God's feed? You know, I got people saying, I can't take the news anymore. It's driving me crazy. Turn it off. I mean, you don't have to be prophetic to understand that. You know, when we lived in upstate New York, because summer would come and go, okay, you know what I'm talking about. When you're going to go on a picnic or go to the lake, you check the weather. You didn't watch the Weather Channel for 24 hours. Check the news so that you stay in tune with what's going on and know how to pray. But God said to me this morning especially, he says, tell the people I'm birthing a new season in Hudson. God works in seasons, and he's birthing a new season. Joel 2:18 says, however, my people must humble themselves and pray. If my people will be sober and stop playing church and listen for that still, quiet voice in the secret place under the shelter of my wings. Man, find the secret place and stay there. I was telling some people yesterday, the word dwell in the house of the Lord. That word dwell in my presence means stay put. Don't go anywhere. Don't move. Wow. So that leads me to, if you want to put up the first slide, I don't know where it shows up. Okay. Do we have it? We don't have it. You couldn't do it. Oh, okay. All right. Well, that's fine. No worries. I'll give you the title. Overwhelmed to Overflow. It's time for us to go from being overwhelmed to overflow. This church is being taken into overflow. Another well is being drilled for rock solid church. It's a well of overflow. You know, Jesus says, come to me, all you who are heavy laden. Are you ready for God to flip the script from overwhelmed to overflow in your life and in your church's life? Come on, I am. Now, I'm going to have to read this to you, and I apologize, but I want to read to you Psalm 18. Says, push to, and by the way, I'm reading out of a version that will drive this point home. Push to the wall, I called to God from wide open spaces, and he answered. How many have felt pushed to the wall? I have. God's now at my side, and I'm not afraid. Who will dare lay a hand on me? God's my strong champion. I flick off my enemies like flies. Far better to take refuge in God than to trust people. Far better to take refuge in God than to trust in celebrities. Hemmed in by barbarians, in God's name, I rub their faces in the dirt. Hemmed in and with no way out, in God's name, I rub their faces in the dirt. Again, it's said. Like swarming bees, like wild prairie fire, they hemmed me in God's name I rubbed their faces in the dirt. I was right on the cliff edge, ready to fall when God grabbed and held me. God's my strength, and he's my song, and now he's my salvation. Hear the shouts, hear the triumphant songs in the camp of the saved. The hand of God has turned the tide. The hand of God is raised in victory. The hand of God has turned the tide. So many people are asking me, where is God? He's right here. He never leaves or forsakes us. Well, when's he going to turn things around? He's already turning them around. You just don't see it yet. You got to trust. You got to have faith. I'm asking you this morning, are you ready for God to flip the switch? Are you ready for God to flip the tide, to go from an overwhelmed spirit to a spirit that's full of overflowing of the things of God? Are you ready to go from being out of alignment to being realigned by God? Well, what's that mean to be realigned? Well, you know what? We put a lot of miles on our car because we drive up from Florida, and while we're up here, we put about 6,000 miles on the car just when we come north every year. And you know what? The car will go out of alignment because some of the roads aren't the best. Our spiritual lives can go out of alignment when we're on the rough, bumpy roads of life. And you got to, if you don't take your car in, you could put brand new tires on your car, and if you don't get your car realigned, you're going to ruin the new tires. We've got to be realigned. And I ask the Holy Spirit every morning, realign my thinking. Realign how I hear things. Realign how I say things. Are you ready to go from cruddy, secular vision to God's fresh vision? Are you ready to go from stale, from lifeless air to a fresh breath of his presence? Man, I get up every morning and I say, I want the Shekinah glory. I want that sticking presence of God that comes and dwells and stays and does not leave. I'm longing for the day. You know, I feel, I prophesy to you, crackpots are coming back into style. Because you're going to need your slow cookers, because you're going to be in church for a while. Because when the presence of God really starts to hit, no one's going to want to go home. I want to go from a messed up slate to a clean slate. I want to go from unforgiveness to forgiveness. I want to go from having bondages and shackles try to be put on me for freedom, because the word of God says who he sets free is free indeed. Come on. I want to get out of counterfeit relationships. I am so sick and tired of counterfeit relationships in the kingdom of God. My wife will tell you, the movie we like to watch is White Earp. And Doc Holliday says, you know, he hands him back the sheriff's badge, and he goes, and White Earp goes, Doc, I thought you were happy to be, you know, part of the team. And he goes, my hypocrisy only goes so far. My hypocrisy can only go so far. I'm done. There are churches my wife and I will not go back into. They call us and they invite us, and I say, sorry. But my philosophy and what I believe the Word of God says is not lining up with yours. That's why this church is doing so well, because your pastor and your leaders do not veer from the Word of God. They stay in it. We have churches abandoning the Word of God. You got a prolific teacher sitting right here, Pastor, right here. If we don't teach this generation about the Word of God and what it truly means, we're in trouble. It's got to be taught. It doesn't come by osmosis. You don't hold your Bible up to your head and say, in the name of Jesus, Get in there. If it did, you'd be out of a job. Glory to God. I want to go from being hemmed in by blowing out every border that exists in my life. I don't want to be hemmed in. I'm sick of all the senseless noise that we're hearing. I want peace in my home. I want peace in my community. I want peace in my church. We're in churches where there's four sections in the church just like this. But believe it or not, certain people sit in this section because they believe this. They sit here because they believe this. You know, a pastor says, one of the pastors said to me, I have Trump lovers, Trump haters. I have abortion, people that are for abortion in my church, people that are against abortion, and they're segregated in my church, and I have four separate churches. I'm worried about that. We all should be worried about that. And by the way, I'm not going to get political on you. I stay biblical. I want to go from a good anointing to a greater anointing. I want to go from a good anointing on our youth to an awesome anointing on our youth. I want to go from being stuck to being unstuck. How about you? How about bitterness and strife and stubbornness and defeat and rebellion? How about we switch that out to break those chains and say they're never going to return to me again? Wow. I want to go from carrying heavy worldly baggage to Christ taking the baggage off of me. I want to get rid of the pessimism that exists in the kingdom of God to optimism, to have new eyes to see, like Revelation 3 says, anoint my eyes with eye salve that I might see. See what? The things of God. What he's got in store for us. I want to go from drought times to rainy times. When it was raining yesterday, we were at Pastor's house. His pond was just covered with green algae, moss. When it got done pouring, you couldn't see any green on that pond. And the Lord spoke to me, my rain is mighty, my rain is cleansing. And just as you saw this pond clean up, no heart for me is impossible to clean. Come on now. Satan tries to rob and steal and kill and destroy. It's right in our word. He comes to destroy and kill and steal any purpose that God has put in your life. That's why the word of God says, guard your heart with all diligence because out of it flow the issues of life. Wow. And if you think God has forgotten you, then you've forgotten who God is. Because in Habakkuk 2:20, it says, but the Lord. Now listen, before you get to Habakkuk 2:20, which is the last verse of chapter 2, all in chapter 1, he's complaining to the Lord. He's doing it in a nice way, and he's complaining. Then he gets into chapter 2, and he's kind of complaining. Then he's kind of, you know, repenting and then kind of complaining. But then he gets to verse 20, and it says, but the Lord is in his temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. Wow. We got to trust God. And you know what I love when God told David, get up and pursue and you will recover everything that was lost. We got to get up and we got to pursue. Because Satan comes after our dreams. He comes after our visions. He comes after our passion. He comes after our love. He comes after our commitment. He even comes after our families. How about today we draw a line in the sand and we say, it ends. I believe that 2024, for what's left of it, we need to make this a year to stand up and not lose our voice. Your ability to perform miracles depends on your ability to unleash the power of faith that resides in you and me. We got to release faith. Today is the day to believe. Believe what? What Psalm 73:26 says, my health may fail and my spirit may grow weak, but God remains the strength of my heart forever. See, you got to know your scripture. When you get up and it's a rough day and things are coming against you, hey, you know what? My health may fail, but God is on my side, and I have a promise from God. I have a lot of promises from God that he will never leave or forsake us. Come on, we got to hold on the word. And I believe for this church today, the immediate starts to happen today. The immediate. You're not going to have to wait for tomorrow or next week. Look at Isaiah 64:1. Oh, that you would rip open the heavens and descend. Make the mountains shudder at your presence as when a forest catches fire and when a fire makes a pot to boil. To shock your enemies into facing you, make the nations shake in their boots. Do you know we've got that power? Wow. We got to get rid of fear. That same dunamis power that raised Christ from the dead on that third day is in you and me. His blood is flowing through you and me. His power is in us. His love is in us. And with those odds, we become unstoppable. But we've got to believe. You know, oh, I would have fainted had I not believed. Believed in what? In the goodness of the Lord amongst the land of the living. When the heavens are ripped open, I will never say, my God cannot do it. In the midst of every storm, there is a presence and a peace of God. When you make God the rudder of your boat, you will navigate every storm. Do you know I had a pastor, two pastors, say to me, Charlie, why are you and Sharon so full of joy and excitement? Don't you understand we're living in dark times? I look at her, is this a trick question? Because the Word of God says light and darkness cannot occupy the same space at the same time. And it also says that light will always prevail over darkness. And then I said yesterday, if we are made in the image of Jesus and Jesus is the light, then we're the light. But I say this, don't be upset with me. I have a problem with that song that says, this little light of mine. We don't have a little light. We are lighthouses. We are bright lights. We don't carry a little light. And you know what? I'm tired of, you know, I was going to finish, let me finish what I was going to say. This pastor, because it really upsets me. This pastor, one of them says to me, Charlie, you and Sharon are too excited and you're coming across too happy. What do you want me to be? Like a man that his mother weaned him on a dill pickle? We're in exciting times. We serve the King of Kings. We're King's kids. Come on, what's wrong with you? So I say that to him, and his comeback is, well, you know we've already lost. Lost what? I don't know what. You know, by the way, I'm 69. When I turned 60, lost all my filters. Okay? So now I don't hold back. And I looked at him and said, what Bible are you reading? No, Charlie, you don't understand. No, you don't understand. Well, we're in the storm. So, when you're in the storm, don't avoid it. Stay in it. Now, people think I'm crazy when I say this. But God allows storms in our lives. Why? Because he wants to grow us and mature us. When you stay in your storm, you keep hope. You stay in faith. You stay and pray in the boat. Don't lose your peace. The enemy wants you to lose your peace. Stay in the boat. Fear not, for the Lord is with you. We got to stop praying like this. Lord, take this off of me. How are you going to grow? We have been through so many storms. We have been through betrayals. Man, betrayal is the worst thing. If you've ever been betrayed or rejected, it's horrible. I had to call people up that I counseled when I would say to them, oh, don't worry, God understands your betrayal. Just read your word. Until Sharon and I went through betrayal, I had to call people up and apologize to them and say, I am so sorry. Because I had no idea how painful this can be. But I'm here to tell you this morning, it's time to declare. I'm a declarer. How about we try declaring, I will make a difference? You might say, that's kind of conceited. No, it's not. You're going to make a difference because God is with you. Sharon and I, we want to make a difference. And we want to keep our forward momentum going. Philippians 1:6 says this, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in me will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Sharon and I want to make a difference with people who are doing something that will make a difference. This church is making a difference. This church is building bridges where no one else can build a bridge. Dear God, I prayed over a couple yesterday in the house, and I have never prayed a word over a person like this. I looked at the husband, and I looked at his wife, and I looked at his wife and prophesied over his wife and said, God is going to give you favor with rednecks. I have never, ever said that in my life. And she just got a big grin on her face. A field that no one else has touched. I was just glad that Pastor wasn't there for that, because he'd have got laughing, he'd have got me laughing. It would have been the end of the day, okay? Can I say something to you, very prophetic? Very profound. Don't fall asleep. Don't come off your prayer wall. Habakkuk 2, 1 through 3 says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and I will watch to see what he will say to me and what I shall answer when I'm reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on the tables, that many may run past it and read it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. This church is right now in the appointed time. Something about, I don't know, I have an inkling, but something's about to happen here. And God told me to tell you, things are not going to slow down. They're about to accelerate. Wow. And I want you to also understand, not only don't you fall asleep, but stay fixed on eternity. David was eternity-minded. Do you know how many Christians right now are trying to accumulate wealth and property? What are you going to do with it? You know, stuff it all in the coffin? Well, I want to leave a legacy. You know, a legacy is not leaving people money and wealth. That's the world's view. Do you know what someone called, I believe his name was Pike. He defined legacy as not something that you do that's great, that matters. It's what you set in motion in other people's life that does. That's a legacy. That's a legacy. I'm going to stand on eternity because I believe God is planting fresh vision in each and every one of your hearts today. Don't get distracted. Don't become lukewarm. Well, this is just the way the world is going. No! Last I checked, my word says, every knee shall bow. There is so much more for us. It's time to get up and get going in God. Oh my God, stop whining. And I'm speaking to myself too. I just had someone, actually, it was our granddaughter, 11 years old, Ryan. She goes, Papa, stop whining, or else I'm going to have to go and serve some cheese with that whining. Out of the mouth of babes. Come on now. I believe God wants to loose more of his power in each and every one of you.